From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Evening Edition.
It's almost like clockwork. The calendar turned, temperatures got hotter, and fires started flaring up.
Live from the CBS studios in San Francisco, I'm Brian Hackett.
And I'm Andrea Nakano. Tonight, we're talking fire season. If the number of wildfires we've had so far seems unusual, it is.
Just today, a grass fire burned an entire hillside near Altamont Pass, just north of 580 near Brushy Regional Park. No word on how it started. CAL FIRE has been able to keep a lid on it. It's burned 44 acres, 75% contained, no injuries fighting it, and no buildings burned.
And here's what's happened in just the past 7 days. Last weekend, the Corral Fire burned more than 14,000 acres near Tracy. It was the state's largest wildfire this season. One home burned and two firefighters were sent to the hospital. Just a few miles from there, the Patterson Fire broke out on Monday near Wind Farm Substation on Patterson Pass Road. The Alameda County Fire Department says it burned 110 acres. And on Wednesday, in the northern Napa Valley, the Crystal Fire torched 60 acres of a hillside north of St. Helena. On one of the hottest days we've had this year, a couple of firefighters ended up in the hospital. But incredibly, a huge estate in the middle of that fire was virtually untouched.
CAL FIRE says so far this year, they responded to 150 more fires than at this point in 2024, and more than 34,000 acres of burn compared to less than 3,000 this time in 2023. So we've burned a lot more acreage so far this year. Temperatures have cooled this weekend, but the brush is pretty much dried out. Temperatures in the Bay Area were near or above 100 degrees on this past Tuesday and Wednesday, so let's see what's next, Darren.
Well, we certainly got a break today. Temperatures have really come down to a little below average for some places today. And if you looked at how the wind was playing a role in the fire that was out on the hills above 580 and heading towards Altamont Pass, the color code on here shows you where you always get the strongest winds across the bay. This has been like one of the primary trouble spots this season in terms of where the fire starts. A lot of open fields with plenty of dry grass, and it's also consistently the windiest part of the bay. You just think of all the windmills that are out there when you drive out on 580. So we are getting help today. This is not particularly bad fire weather right now. It might be windy out on Altamont Pass, but it's not hot and dry. In fact, the marine layer has been trying to surge back in again after sticking around pretty much all morning. And if you look at daytime highs, those numbers are actually either right at the mark for average or a little below. Enjoy it. Tomorrow's just like this. And then the heat's coming back. It's not going to be as bad as what we had, but it's going to be close. There's another spike in heat, and I'll go into the detail on that for this coming week, guys. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Thank you, Darren. A two-story apartment building caught fire in the Outer Sunset this afternoon. It drew over 40 firefighters to the scene after 2 p.m. Got it out pretty quickly. There were no injuries or rescues. It's out on Taravelle Street near 47th Avenue.
A Pamela Price recall rally this morning turned heated and confrontational. A man who claims to be a Price supporter got into a physical altercation with the father of a murder victim. There was a small group of Price supporters to counter the protest rally.
In San Jose, police say they have arrested a suspect in last week's fatal stabbing near Roosevelt Park. They believe this woman, Sylvia Ortega, a 28-year-old San Jose resident, stabbed and killed an adult man Monday morning. Police say they served a warrant at her home and took her in on Thursday. This is the scene from Sunday. Police found the victim's body at 17th and East Santa Clara. They're still trying to figure out what happened. Ortega is booked in the county jail for murder, San Jose's 17th homicide of the year.
A San Jose police officer who was involved in a shootout has been released from the hospital. This is video from the San Jose Police Department showing Officer Jaime Arredondo getting cheered on by his fellow officers. He was shot while responding to a call at an extended stay America back in May. The suspect was arrested. San Jose police say he had to undergo three surgeries.
June 19th is recognized as the date that slavery ended in America. And today, San Francisco city leaders and cultural organizations floated down Market Street for a Juneteenth parade. Nicole Bremont was happy to be out on Market Street, riding the trolley and enjoying free concerts, but the thing he liked most about it was just seeing black people out in the community.
San Francisco has been pushing out black folks for the last 30, 40, 50 years, you know what I mean? And you don't see a lot of us anymore. So it's good to see us all out and celebrating it, you know what I mean? Kind of reclaiming our city.
Juneteenth has been celebrated for a long time, but it wasn't federally recognized until the Black Lives Matter movement of 2020.
A swearing-in ceremony in Antioch for 20 high school graduates who are enlisting in the military. This is at Waldy Plaza near the pier. Members of the military community, students, families, and city leaders came for the ceremony and speeches. Antioch Mayor Lamar Hernandez-Thorpe served 8 years in the U.S. Navy after he graduated from high school. And he had some words for those who are taking a similar path.
You know, reminding them of the importance of the rule of law and what that means for our country and the principles and values that they'll be defending. And it's not just about defending, you know, in terms of being armed up, but it's also promoting the ideas of democracy, freedom, and fairness, and liberty, and everything that we value as Americans.
Hernandez-Thorpe went to college and got a degree after his service, something many of the graduates are hoping to do as well.
Long-awaited reunions in Israel tonight. The military has 4 hostages from central Gaza, and the Palestinians have hundreds more people dead. Officials are saying the rescue mission killed at least 210 Palestinians, many of them children, and injured hundreds more.
It was the largest such mission since Israel declared war on Hamas, and the U.S. provided billions of dollars in weapons to fight the war. Natalie Brand has the latest from Washington.
People in Israel danced in the streets, celebrating the rescue of 4 hostages held captive by Hamas for 8 months. Israel Defense Forces released this video it says was taken right after the daytime raid on the Gaza Strip that freed 25-year-old Noah Argamani. They also brought to safety 21-year-old Almag Meir, 27-year-old Andrei Kozlov, and 40-year-old Shlomi Ziv. All 4 were taken by helicopter for medical checkups before being reunited with their loved ones. Argamani's father praised Israel's army, as did the mother of another hostage.
Thank you for bringing my son to me.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed Israel will not stop until Hamas releases the remaining 120 hostages it's believed to be still holding.
But if they don't, I'll do whatever it takes to get them all back home.
President Biden congratulated Israel on the successful rescue during a news conference with France's president.
We won't stop working until all the hostages come home and a ceasefire is reached. That is essential to happen.
In Washington, D.C., thousands protested the war, hoping to send a message to the Biden administration.
They formed a red line around the White House, calling for an end to U.S. military aid to Israel and also for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
I'm here on behalf of every child who was killed or murdered these past 8 months.
Israelis have rejected the term ceasefire, but as negotiations continue, CBS News has learned they would be open to naming it a sustainable calm.
The White House says the U.S. provided support for the rescue mission. CBS News has learned it came mainly in the form of intelligence support and that the U.S. military did not participate. A handful of anti-war activists gathered for a demonstration outside the Ferry Building in San Francisco today. They say Israel has completely disregarded human rights.
Thousands of miles away from the protesters, the president and first lady spent the evening in Paris at a state dinner hosted by the French president and his wife. Other attendees included former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and a handful of celebrities. The president was already in France to attend D-Day ceremonies on Thursday. For his part, Mr. Biden never served in the military, getting a number of deferments.
Meanwhile, Biden's opponent, Donald Trump, continued his California trip today. Here's his motorcade rolling into Newport Beach in Orange County, where he's expected to speak at a private fundraiser. Dozens of supporters lined the streets hoping to catch a glimpse of the presidential hopeful. This week, Mr. Trump was in San Francisco for a fundraising event. This was a scene in Pacific Heights on Thursday with groups of demonstrators both supporting him and protesting him. And protesting his visit.
The Pink Triangle has been placed on San Francisco's Twin Peaks for Pride Month. The display, almost 200 feet across. The Auschwitz Memorial and Museum says pink triangles were used by Nazis to identify gay prisoners. Those behind placing the triangle on Twin Peaks say they do it as a reminder of the history and also current laws discriminating against the LGBTQ community. The triangle will be visible for the duration of Pride Month.
the power and the resilience that our community holds. It has been a great privilege to be able to sit amongst and serve amongst those whom have come before me and have done the work so that I can be just as fabulous as I am.
The Castro and many other neighborhoods for the duration of Pride Month. On the peninsula today, San Mateo celebrated just its second annual Pride Parade, marching the celebration through downtown. Barry Renfro came up with a unique idea to show his support for the queer community by offering something they might have been denied. He wore a shirt that read, "Free Dad Hugs."
I decided that I'm going to tell every single person that I'm proud of you. I feel like that's a powerful statement coming from, I feel like that's a powerful statement coming from a father or a grandfather figure to tell people, I'm proud of you. And so far, it's been very well received.
Barry said he and his wife have had the idea to do this for many years, but this is the first time they made it happen. Former Apollo 8 astronaut William Anders died on Friday in a plane crash off the San Juan Islands in Washington State. He was piloting the aircraft alone when it plummeted into the water.
Why it happened is still under investigation, of course, by the feds. Anders flew on Apollo 8, a famous mission, the first manned space mission that put it in orbit about the moon. That was in 1968. His contribution to space exploration, particularly his renowned Earthrise photograph, is etched in history as a pivotal moment of human understanding. It was the first time we ever saw Earth from beyond the Earth. It became a touchstone for the environmental movement as it gained traction more than half a century ago. Anders' career spanned from his service as an astronaut to a dedicated advocate for education and preservation of aviation history. William Anders was 90 years old. Families in San Francisco came out to the Embarcadero today for a foggy bike ride with firefighters and CHP officers. It's the annual SF Bike Rodeo, or if you prefer, Rodeo, put on by Scouting America to teach important bike safety lessons like don't ride in the fog. Kids learned how to navigate traffic and use bike paths and how to use the proper safety equipment.
Well, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you back here at 11.
Until then, the news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area for now. Good night. See you tomorrow.